Item number three is a rezoning of 851 to 857 Panett Road under file DAZ221 of 2010.
You can read the item into the record?
I know.
Okay. We have one person in register in support. I believe it's Katzen.
Is it Carson?
I'm sorry, Carson. Mr. Carson Rist, would you like to step forward? Hi. Could you state your name and address for the record, Mr. Rist?
Carson Rist, 23 Stone Court Place in Winnipeg.
Thank you. Do you wish to speak to your application at this point, or?
Yes. We have, as part of Gateway Christian Community, I'm part of Gateway Construction, but I'm also part of Gateway Christian Community. And they have worked on that property since they purchased it many years ago to develop a place of worship and then expand that to a school that would service its people that attend the church there, as well as out into the community as well. So over the years, they've added on to it, developed it as money and funds would permit, and as the zoning of the property would permit, they kept adding on to it. And the school got larger and larger and attracted more and more people to the school. So they added on temporary classrooms, and they added on a gymnasium, they added on more administrative space. And as they did this, the property under its zoning bylaws only permitted a certain type of use. So they were extended the opportunity to do it, but it was always under temporary means. So as they would like to continue to expand, because they've purchased the property to the north of the main property, 851 Panett Road, that being the 867, I think, they purchased that property, and we were talking about the planning and the future and that, and I met together with the counselor or with the planner, and we talked about what the options were, and it was suggested that we should consider looking at an EI designation, which would fit within the purpose of the facility now and also the purposes of the school and the long-term plans. So that's how this development agreement moved forward, and that's why we are where we are, because we've really invested in the community. It is a place that the school functions for its members, as well as anyone who comes to it from the community. They run a food bank in the area. They reach out into the community, so they're providing a good public service there as well. And they'd like to continue doing so by investing in that. So we've gone forward with this application. The application originally was expected to be fairly clean, and we knew of some of the things that would be coming up. A few of the items on here were a little bit of a surprise, but I guess that's why we're here, to talk over that a little bit. And that's where we're at now.
All right. This is your opportunity to raise any issues or concerns you have. So this is the chance, if there was anything that you wanted to speak to. This is your opportunity, Mr. Rist.
Okay. I was sent a Schedule B, which gives a number of the clauses and I guess speaks to one area. And then I was also given the opportunity to download the report that I guess was given to prepare for the public hearings. Mm-hmm. And I understand some of these things because I've run into them before. Mm-hmm. The developer shall pay its share of the regional stormwater management facility. That's an acreage fee based on the size of the property, and that would be for the property to the north, because I believe we paid for it for the property for the south.
Yes.
Okay, so that's that part. It also says that we shall pay to the city on demand for the roadway in front of the property, and I don't know on the timing of that. I know some people in the congregation who were more involved earlier said that they had commitments that the roadway was going to be done by now, and there wasn't supposed to be a cost to us, and now it's put onto this agreement that for that piece of property we'd have to pay for the lineal footage along the property. So guess the question is, when would that happen? Is there a commitment to doing that? Could it be any day, or is there a plan for that?
Is maybe the administration comment on that?
The four-laning of Panic Road was actually, I believe, in last year's, in the 2010 capital budget, was inserted into the budget by the administration, but was one of the cuts that were suffered to meet the budget target. So your committee is the best vehicle to move that forward.
So right now it's not in the budget at this point?
I don't believe it is.
And all right. Now, the question I have is, in terms of, I always was under the understanding it's usually from going from an agricultural zoning to a higher zoning is when we would apply area charges like this. This is going from a C3 zoning and an RR5 zoning to an EI zoning. Is that?
No, it's applicable to the charter. Allows the administration to apply terms and conditions to subdivision and rezoning applications of any type. And it's really a consideration of if the property in the past has paid its share or not for those improvements. And it's when an application comes forward that arrangements are made for them to pay their share. Pursuant to the development agreement parameters.
And 4 meter wide is what? Equivalent of what? One lane or two?
One lane. That's one lane.
That's one lane.
And that's the standard requirement under development agreements for developer to contribute to the cost of one lane of pavement fronting. And it's only I might add, this is for a 10.6, like 36 feet or so of frontage is all they have on Panic Road.
Yeah, it tapers down quite a bit at Panic.
Right.
They
right.
paid previously for the full frontage of their home site. This is just for the additional lot.
I see. Okay. Okay. I don't know if that answered your question. Or
it sounds like it's deferred. We don't know when it might get put back in. And I don't know how far it's supposed to go, twinning of it? Is it just to the railway line, or does it go all the way
up,
to?
No, it'll clean up all the way to Concordia, from Monroe to Concordia.
Okay.
They're not going to just do a little bit. They're going to. In fact, it will, I believe, from the plans that have been developed, about 300 or 400 feet north of Concordia, it will transition back.
So the railway line will be made wider, or?
It'll all be adjusted at the same time.
The four-way,
part of the project.
Four-lane roadway across there.
Okay. So that's an on-demand. Is that something other property developers also will have to pay in that area?
Could we?
Well, when they make an application to subdivide or rezone, and we have collected from many others along there already.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you have to prepay it, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
This is not a requirement here?
Well, they can prepay it if they like.
Okay,
we have
requirements in many cases.
We have regional rates that if they want to prepay it, they can prepay it. But we're thinking it's quite imminent, so just this way they can pay their actual cost. Otherwise, what we could do is have them prepay it and then make an adjustment later when it's actually constructed.
So if you wanted certainty, we could probably give you a number now.
Forgot my credit card. The other one, the stormwater management, what's the timing on the payment of that? Is that when the property gets developed because we'll be tying into the stormwater, or because we have no need of changing the property as it sits right now? What would the timing of that be?
Is not unlike the previous situation where if we, this is our opportunity to collect, it's hard for us to tie it to a building permit or to some future event. I suppose it could be tied to a development permit. application, but we have no means to caveat the property to do that. We just have to trust that that would happen.
Obviously, for the congregation, it's an easier plan. If they know they're planning towards an expansion, then they can also build this fee into it, and then they know it's all part of the package, and they deal with it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
And really, we're not changing the property substantially right now.
Like, right.
It's sitting there. It's got drainage around it right now. So, right. And it's not really serviced with any facilities, so it's not really making use of the facilities. That
what are you, right now, you're not planning to do any development on the site in the near future? Or?
Yeah, they're planning to do some, it's more on the 851 side, not okay. on the...
The southern side?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was going to straddle right along the border of the property.
And it was to do what?
It was to put some temporary classrooms there as well.
I see. And the drainage issue has been looked after on the other lot? This is just speaking to the northerly lot?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we did pay what was it called? It was a fee of a similar.
Charge, yes. Yeah. Around $116,000.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's keep going. And then there were comments about taking care of litter. That's no problem. Talking about berming the property along the railway line as part of the railway requirement, and then putting a fence on top of that to keep traffic from out of there. So I've discussed this a little bit, and I understand that. Providing survey drawings and documents, that's no problem. Then there was a fee for drafting up the drawings, subdivision mylars. We're not really doing so much of a subdivision as we are amalgamating the property, so I was hoping to request that we make that as reasonable as possible, given the amount of work that's going to be required to rework those drawings, instead of going into like subdividing the property for many lots that we are going to be selling. We're just looking at pulling it together all under one title. And that is a clarification a little bit. The way that this is written, it's to change the zoning category, but we also talked about bringing the titles together, right?
Yeah, I should answer that one. When I spoke to you, I completely forgot that this was a DAZ, not a DASZ. And so this is just a rezoning application. So to consolidate the titles, we can't do that tonight. You'll have to file another application called a DAPS, which is just simply a parcel plan. It's not a public hearing item. And you just file it at the time you make your application for your subdivision mylars. And that clause that you're talking about, and number 8, that's just a standard clause in there that's in all of them. It mentions subdivision mylars, but that's not going to be part of this application. And that's, you're not paying for the preparation of those. You're going to have to pay a land surveyor, somebody that's our administration fee that the city charges to everybody for the preparation of the servicing and development agreements that goes to the land development branch. That's their a funding source for their operations.
And that's so standard. It is $1,200 per acre?
Yes. And that would be the minimum required amount that's in keeping with council policy that we apply for everybody.
How many acres?
It's 6.8, almost 7.
And the minimum amount is $1,650 plus GST. That's the minimum amount that can be charged.
How much?
$1,650.
No, flat.
No,
total.
But our rate is usually $1,200 per acre. And we charge all developers that.
So what makes you decide which one you're going to charge?
The complexity of the development application and the drafting of this development agreement, how much time is put into drafting up and working on a development agreement or a service
level of complexity, how complex would you see this?
This one's probably, I'd say, low.
Straightforward.
Yeah.
Very low, okay.
Compared to, like, the IKEA one or, you know, something like that, this is, like, this is on the low end of...
So if you had to pay $1,650, would that be better than paying the 1,200 times 6.8?
So, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Then I also had a question. There was a clause when I go further on, and I don't understand all the wording, I'm sorry, but talks about that a 10% dedication be made by a payment of a sum of money to the city in lieu of the requirement for land dedication based on the increase in market value of the land and the creation of additional lots. Sorry, lost me.
I'll let the planner explain it. Yeah, okay. Mr. Reban, explain it to you.
No, that's land dedication. That's a standard clause applied to every development application, same as the previous discussion at the last public hearing. That's an obligation that's set out by the development agreement parameters that council adopts. It says we have to do this. We're enabled to underneath the charter. So you're changing your this site now because you're rezoning it. So it's going from C3 to E1. I'm not sure if the value of the land is actually going to increase or decrease. I'm not in real estate.
No, RR5 and R1.
Oh, yeah, and so RR5 is also changing as well to EI. That probably will reflect a change in the cost. So say the land at RR5 is worth $100. It's now going to go up to $200. The increase in value is $100. 10% of that would be $10. You'd pay the city $10. I'm just using those numbers as an example. Don't believe those are the numbers. And that's the requirement. That money then goes into help fund the parks and playgrounds that are nearby in the field, or in the neighborhood, or within the ward, as well as in the adjacent wards.
If you're taking a big piece of greenfield development, if you're a new developer coming on board, and you've got a huge parcel of land you want to develop, at least 10% of it has to come back for green space, for city parks and stuff like that. In existing areas, that's like you say, to keep up neighborhoods and stuff, we charge this land dedication fee. It goes towards parks and other neighborhood amenities.
Okay. And that's automatically applied as per council policy.
However, as a school, I would imagine you would have some green space.
Oh yeah.
So is that factored in?
Council policy indicates that it's only waived for if you're building seniors residential.
No. What I'm asking is, even though it's not technically our land dedication, it's his land dedication, their land
yep.
sitting inside for park. That's
That's not included. A perfect example had the Grant Memorial Baptist Church up on Grant Avenue recently rezoned to EI as well. Happened to handle the application. They asked for 10% to be waived, and it wasn't, because even though they're providing a playing field there and playground equipment, et cetera, that's not considered a credit towards park dedication.
Okay.
It's not publicly held park.
So practically speaking, what would have to happen then?
For you not to pay land dedication? Or?
Oh, so it's a dollar amount someone will calculate?
Somebody will calculate. Our real estate division will have an assessor look at it, look at the value of it changing from RR5 to EI. And from C3 to EI, I'm going to guess right now. I think your land is worth more at C3 than EI. So you might pay next to nothing in terms of land dedication for there.
You'll hit money?
What's that?
You'll hit money?
No, I don't think it doesn't work.
It's right
quite
along
like
the railway tracks. That's
yeah.
not that attractive.
Yeah, and there's a swamp nearby and a highway and you know stuff like that. It's worth nothing. But certainly the RR5 is going to be going to EI, which makes it more value. So there are real estate people who will take a look at it, assess it. We can do that in a pretty short order over the next little while, and somebody will contact you right around probably maybe in January and saying this is how much it's going to cost. Once again, it's a 10% of the increase in value. So the land is going to be assessed at RR5. It's not going to be assessed at EI. How much did that go up? Then we're going to ask for 10% of that value.
Okay. And then the next item, it says, in the event the application is not proceeded with expeditiously and the bylaw is not enacted within 24 months after adoption of the report, what is that addressing?
Basically, you have to proceed with implementing all of the bylaw. Everything that's in here, it has to be done. You can go for what's called a time extension if you so choose. Is there a charge for the time extension?
Yes, it's $300 and some, $384.
Which another 2 years would be given, typically?
Yes. Just to clarify, what has to take place within the 2 years is basically the, will there be a zoning agreement?
Yes, there's a zoning agreement, yeah.
Okay. The zoning agreement and the subdivision mylars have to be, and associated documents have to be registered in land titles within the 2 years.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And you have to pay your land dedication too, I think, within that 2 year, and pay the administration fee.
I want an extension right now.
Yeah. All that has to be done in the 2 year time period before we actually change the zoning from to the EI district.
The land, like
land dedication, the administration fee, the zoning agreement has to be drafted and signed by both parties. A bylaw actually has to be prepared and sent up to council. All that has to be done within 2 years before we actually change the land designation to EI. Right now, this committee is just going to make a recommendation up to council. The report will be adopted by council saying we're okay with this in principle. Then we have to do the administrative work, and you have to complete your end within the 2 years. So if you come in with a building permit that's not permitted in C3 or R5, it won't be allowed until you complete all these other steps.
Okay. There was a clause that speaks to advertising, and I didn't understand that. It says there shall be no advertising signs, mobile signs, poster signs, and A-frame signs on the entire project property. That doesn't mean like identifying the building or saying it's a school or something like that.
No, you can have identification sign. You just can't have like a big billboard sign that says, you know, Fly WestJet on there, or Streamers, a big balloon animal on top of the roof saying, you know, eat at Joey's or something like that.
Like we have a billboard in the back of the property right now at 851. That's a permanent kind of sign structure, like from the signage companies, you know.
Yeah, it says like, does it say the name of the school on it, or is it
No, that people advertise on. It's run by a business.
Yeah, that wouldn't be allowed anymore.
It wouldn't?
No.
Okay.
You shouldn't have told us.
Interesting enough, Patterson just contacted us recently and indicated they have about 50 signs out there that are no longer allowed, actually. They have to bring in the compliance with the city of Winnipeg. They just contacted me today, actually. So I'm not sure if that's one of them. There's another one up, actually, on Norris Road on Lajimode that's expired and can't be there anymore.
Are they not allowed to put them on the along the roadway? Or do they have to apply for each one?
Yeah, they got to apply for each one.
Okay, so that would just be a separate item. But we're talking about the school. School wants to say, we are a school, we're here.
Yeah, and if you want this Patterson sign, unless there's a clause on it that, like, I'm not sure how it was allowed to be constructed there, if it was permitted before, then it would just become non-conforming. You couldn't add any more signs, and if it was ever torn down, you couldn't create it. If there was something called a conditional use where it was attached as a conditional use a few years ago, and if that has expired, they wouldn't be able to get a new one. So I'm not sure. I think it was probably put up as a permitted use since the land was owned C3.
Okay.
So it will just become a non-conforming use.
Okay, and I wouldn't mind discussing again those things that I have to do, the timelines, so that I can apply for other things that we want to also keep going forward with as the school and church. So that's all I had for now.
Okay. All right, any questions of the delegation? Seeing none, okay. Thanks very much, Mr. Rist. Might need to call you back up in a minute. I don't think so, though, because there's nobody else registered on the item. I'll just ask, is there anybody else registered in support of this item? Seeing none. Anybody here registered in opposition of this item? Seeing none. Anybody here registered for information on this item? Seeing none. Any other questions of the administration or of the applicant? Mr. Rist is here now. No? Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Rist.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you have a motions you'd like to move, Councillor, or any questions? Time.
Okay. I'll move them. Okay. I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred and forwarded to the Executive Policy Committee.
Okay.
That's fine.
I was going to suggest, Councillor, I'd like to support your motion. I just don't, maybe a friendly amendment, if possible, is under clauses, just to make sure that they know, first of all, clause 8 under the ACG report, amending it so that the maximum that they would have to spend on subdivision of Mylar's registration is 1,650 total.
Yeah.
That's clear. And then the other one that I was going to suggest to you, Councillor, yeah, if I may, is the deletion of clause, the requirement under clause 1 and 2 in the service agreement, that retention, stormwater retention has already been done. And to nail a church with the cost of the courtly, when we're about to do the work anyway on the road, I think is a little bit, you know, overbearing. I know there'll be an issue in the administration, but we're talking about clauses under the servicing agreement, number 2, clause 1 and 2, deletion, and renumbering all the clauses therein. I still want to get into heaven. But anyway, so does Councillor Steen, I'm sure. Yeah. But anyway, those are my suggestions, if I may.
Those are good suggestions.
Yeah.
So then, as amended?
As amended?
Yeah, deleting clauses 1 and 2 in the ACG report, and amending number 8. For a total contribution of $1,650.
At the max. Not getting anything for road?
Maximum. What's that?
No, I'm sure it'll be. Well, I think there's going to be the cost. You're going to have costs coming up here on all the other obligations.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll always have that discussion, I'm sure.
Okay.
So, anyway.
That was a change. Can it still go priority?
Nope. Goes to P&D.
Goes to P&D.
So it's going to go to the Standing Policy Committee on Property Development.
Okay. So I move that again?
Sure. Okay. So moved as amended?
Okay.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the following supporting reasons be provided. I believe it's a good expansion in the community and doesn't have any negative impact on the neighborhood. And I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Thank you.